Good morning. That was a Swahili song that simply says, Lord, there is no one like you. There's only one God. And we need to know that, don't we? Because every week our humanity is in front of us. We know how fragile we are, how damaged we can get. This week was particularly challenging for me because, look at the next slide coming up, my phone, next one, is it up? Maybe not, okay, my phone was not working, just like the PowerPoint was not working. And I tried to text someone with my phone, and the harder I pushed on the screen, the letters just weren't coming up. And I was getting so frustrated. Even though the phone can't communicate with me, I was communicating with the phone. Do you ever get frustrated whenever an object doesn't work the way you want it to? Every week, maybe? Maybe it's your car? Maybe it's the washing machine or the dishwasher or some object that just doesn't work the way we want it to. This is what is happening in Jeremiah chapter 18. We pick up the story where Jeremiah is in the middle of chaos. There's so much that's going wrong politically, economically. There is a storm brewing. All these big superpowers, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, they seem to be controlling the destiny of this little group of people of Judah. And Jeremiah had warned his people, don't be disobedient, but turn back and follow God. But the people weren't listening. And so Jeremiah felt small. He felt alone. Alone because the superpowers were against his people. Alone because his own people weren't listening to him. And alone because the whole world seemed to be turning against him. And it's in this moment that God speaks words to Jeremiah and says, go down to the potter's house. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you a message. Now, Jeremiah could have shouted back at God and said, you want me to go to a potter's house and look at a potter working with clay when all this disaster is happening? Do you really want me to go and watch someone making something as ordinary as a clay pot when our world is in crisis? Don't you see the big catastrophe we're all facing? But Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house. He chooses to obey God because God wanted to show Jeremiah something in something so ordinary like a clay pot. And that's what we're going to do today, to get a picture of God through the potter's hands. Because it's not Babylon that is shaping history. It's not Assyria shaping history. It's not the US of A shaping history. It's God who shapes history. It's God who is the master, God who is the creator. And so today we are going to the potter's house. We have a very special guest here this morning who is one of our members. Professor Anna Gradonis is going to come forward. She is professor of art at Calvin University, but she can also make pots with her hands. So welcome, Anna. Take a seat, and she is going to show us how to make clay pots. And as she does that, we have some of her beautiful pieces of art, And we're going to pass them round very carefully today for you to hold in your hands clay pots. And as you hold it, ask God, what do you want me to learn from this message today? So we've one here. Have you ever wondered why God uses this image of a potter and his piece of clay?
Sorry if I distract.
Keep going. You'll be fascinating. They might not want to listen to me, but it's good to have you here. And we'll just talk to Anna as she begins. So I have a mic. So Anna, tell us, how many years have you been doing this?
Oh, this is going to tell you I'm a little older maybe than what I look. I've been working with clay for over 40 years.
40 years. So does it take that long to produce an object of beauty?
No. And I have students who work with me in my classes, and sometimes in the very first day, they might not work on the wheel, but they can begin forming with their hands very beautiful pieces.
And clay is very different from wood, isn't it? Working with wood or metal or other types of material. What is special about working with clay?
Well, first of all, it's the earth. It's the very earth we walk on. And it's the earth that supports plants and growth. And it's a very important part of our lives, even though we may not think about it. And it has very special characteristics that are different from wood, different from metal. It's very malleable. It's very formable, if you understand it. But you do need to understand any material you work with in order to make it become something special.
And so, Anna, give us your thoughts. Why do you think God said, I am like a potter, and you are like clay? What do you think?
Well, for me, that's very, it runs deep and it's very personal. I feel and think strongly that our lives are constantly being formed by our life experiences and by the leading of God in our lives. So if you think about clay as being something that is formed by loving hands, by a potter that understands the material, and you think about the way God understands us and understands our lives and understands our struggles, I think it's a good metaphor that that this forming is happening every day, and it's for our good. It leads us to something better than where we are. I mean, that's a simple way to put it, right?
But it's beautiful, isn't it? So, Anna, rather than talking, we want to see you working. And we want to see the potter's wheel at work. So feel free to watch Anna while I keep talking. So what is God saying to us that we are like clay? Well, Anna was saying we are made from the ground. We're made from the dust. And if you think about the ground, what's the first word that comes into your head? What is dust and dirt like? Dirty, yes. And think of God getting his hands dirty in forming our lives. Whenever someone dies at the funeral, we say, from dust you have come, to dust you shall return. Yeah. And yet God puts his hands on us. He's tender with us. He molds and shapes us to be vessels for his glory. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we started in Jeremiah chapter 1. And God told Jeremiah, before you were even born, I formed you. And that word, I formed you, is the word of a potter forming the clay, putting his hands upon us and forming us, shaping our destiny. And when you see Anna working at the wheel, it gives you a picture of what God is doing with our lives. He doesn't just throw us into existence, but he's tender with us. He's skillful with us. All of these pots are so different. Not one is made the same. And that tells us God enjoys creation. God delights in creation. This week I was hearing about a Presbyterian minister with a very strange name, Maltby Davenport Babcock. Who would like to be called Maltby Davenport Babcock? He was a minister in the state of New York. And the story goes every morning he would love to go for a walk outside because he could go up to a hill and see Lake Ontario. But every morning before he went out to see the lake, he would turn to his wife and say, "I'm going out to see my father's world." And it's those words he used to write the hymn that we have just sung. "This is my father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres." God enjoys creation. God enjoys every part of creation. On Friday, my husband David and I were out walking on the street, the main street of Grand Haven, and there were many shops that we were walking past. But David heard the sound of little tiny birds, and we looked around to try and see where the sound of the birds was coming from. And in between two shop walls, there was this small little crack. And you could just see the beaks of the little tiny baby birds popping out. And the birds, the mother was coming and feeding them. And we stood there in wonder that this tiny little space was singing out of creation. God made such beautiful, beautiful things for us. But here's another thing. We are the clay. God enjoys making creation out of clay. But it also tells us God is in control. It's not the clay who's in control of Anna. It's Anna who is in control of the clay. In Isaiah 29, God tells his people, "You turn things upside down, as if you think you are the potter and I am the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'He did not make me'? Does the clay say to the potter, 'What are you making?'" You can't possibly imagine that the job of the potter should be us. And yet so often we imagine we're in control of our lives, don't we? We're the ones shaping our destiny. But Jeremiah was told to look at the pot to be reminded God is in control. He is shaping not just our lives, but all of history. But something happened when Jeremiah saw the potter at work. He looked at the piece of clay and saw that there was an imperfection in it. There was a flaw in this clay pot. But what did the potter do? Did the potter lift up the piece of clay and throw it out? Or did he kick the wheel in frustration, which is what I would probably do if I was trying to do what Anna is doing? Or did he try and call in another potter and say, "You take this piece of clay, I can't work with it"? No, the potter stayed in his seat and tenderly worked the piece of clay, shaping it into another type of vessel which seemed best to it. What does that tell us about God? He's gracious with us. Even when we mess up, he keeps working with us. Now, at the start, I told you about my phone that is not working the way I want it to, and I was getting so annoyed. And then I told you about this piece of clay, and there was a flaw in it, and it wasn't working the way the potter wanted it to. And God says, you are like this clay, but there is a difference between the phone and the clay, because the clay that is like us, God is saying, you have a choice in how your life is going to be shaped. Yes, I'm the potter. I want to work with you with my hands, but you need to yield to me. You need to surrender your life to me so that I can make the best vessel out of your life. Yield and submit and remember, I have my hands on you, and let me make the best out of my life, of your life for me. And God was giving his people a choice to yield or to resist. The clay can choose to respond to the shaping of the potter, but if the clay resists, then God said, disaster is going to come. And so Jeremiah gave his people this choice. Yield to the potter, remember your creator, come back to the Lord, or forget all about him. And do you know what the people in Jeremiah's day said? They said, we give up. It's no use. It's a word that talks about feeling exhausted. Look at this beautiful work. Isn't it wonderful? That's amazing. Yes, let's give her a round.
Can I do this more often?
Yes. Can I hold it and you go again? We'll set this here. We'll do one more as we keep working. We're nearly done. So the people of Jeremiah said, we are exhausted. Have you ever run so fast that your throat gets dry and you begin to cough because your throat hurts so much? That's the word in verse 12 that the people tell God. We are exhausted. Our throats are so dry running around. We're so busy. It's no use following you, God. We are just tired out. We're only clay after all. And the sad outcome for Jeremiah's people is they think their situation is full of despair. It's useless. And God brings punishment and disaster. When I was a little girl, my father would make a beautiful fire in our living room in the winter time. And in the morning time, it was my mother who would come and clean up the fire. And you know how it goes. You take a shovel into the ash and you lift the shovel and you carry it outside. But if there's a gust of wind, what happens to the ash? It flows up. It's so light, it begins to float away. And God says to his people, yes, you are like clay, but I'm going to make you like dust in Jeremiah 18. You're going to be blown up and scattered away because you have forgotten me. The past couple of weeks, we have seen the ash of the Amazon rainforest, haven't we? The fires that have come in there. And we can feel despair that this beautiful creation is being destroyed. We can feel despair because we see world leaders making decisions. And we get anxious because we don't know what our futures will hold. And we could say, like Jeremiah's people, we're exhausted. It's no use. Let us just find our own way. But here's the good news. God is not just the God of creation. God is the God of recreation. Because the end of the story is the potter actually became clay. God himself came down and took the form of a man, becoming like us, becoming like clay. Because he is patient, he saw creation getting spoiled, but he didn't throw us away. Instead, his son came down, taking on all of our fragile imperfections. And on the cross, his own throat got so dry and he got parched, and he cried out to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" And then Jesus' body was put in this earth, but the clay could not hold him because he rose again. And he came to fulfill Jeremiah's words. "I'm going to put a new spirit in my people so that instead of them crying out in despair, it's no use, they're going to cry out to me again, 'Abba, Abba, Father.'" And they will become connected to the Creator God. So I want to challenge you and ask you today, where do you feel despair? Is it in your family? Do you feel despair with a relationship? Do you feel despair because of your country and what your country is going through? Do you feel despair because of what you see on the TV and Amazon rainforests being so destroyed and turning to ash? We have hope because we serve a God who is resurrection, a God who comes to make all things new. So we don't despair, but instead we cry out, "Abba, Father." And so let us close this time. I'm going to read that verse that we had from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen to these words, and may this be your prayer. "Lord, use me even though I'm a clay jar." It says, "Treasure is kept in clay jars." In the same way, we have the treasure of the good news in these earthly bodies of ours that shows that the mighty power of the good news comes from God, not us. We are pushed hard from all sides, but we're not beaten down. We are bewildered, but that doesn't make us lose hope. Others make us suffer, but God does not desert us. We're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. We always carry around the death of Jesus in our bodies so that the life of Jesus can be shown in our bodies. We don't give up. Even though our bodies get weaker and weaker, our spirits are being renewed day by day. Our troubles are small. They will only last a short time, but they are earning for us a glory that will last forever. It is greater than all our troubles. So we don't spend all our time looking at what we can see. Instead, we look at what we can't see. That's because what can be seen lasts only a short time, but what can't be seen will last forever.